It's counting.
Okay. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It is. And I guess, thank you, Julie, for the presentation you did. That was very nice. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
I appreciate all you guys. Thank you. It wouldn't make my job so easy.
We appreciate you. Praise the Lord. I didn't see you get too many of them, so.
That's okay.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, guys. Father, we so humbly come before you. Father, we are in awe of you. We just want to stand before you and just praise and magnify you. Father, we just want to speak what needs to be said. We want you to just be alive in this service and your will and your way be done and what needs to be said, said. Father, just get me out of the way and let you do your thing. Father, we just praise you and thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. Anybody look at their bulletins this morning, see what the title of the message is this morning? Nobody? Love, question mark, commanded. Is love commanded? Yeah, love is commanded. I'm pretty wore out from running around I've done this morning, so I might not have as much energy as I usually do. But the Lord's going to show up. And that's what I wait for. Wait for Him. Love command. We are commanded to love, right? Is love a... You look up love in a dictionary, you know, it's got all these things that they call love. Say love. I have come to believe, is for my life, love is a decision you make. It's not a feeling. It's nothing to do with that. It's a decision you make. My wife is here today, so she would probably be the first one to admit. There's times she says, I love you, but I really don't like you much right now. Huh? Yeah, I think it's true. We all have that, but we choose to love. We have kids, right? You always love them, right? But you don't like them too much sometimes, right? It's a point. We're going to be in Mark. I want to start in Mark chapter 12. This love commanded. I want to tie this in with this Sunday because this is a Sunday we're talking about people that work in the church, people that do things. I'm no preacher. I'm just a simple, very, very simple man who loves the Lord. And I like to talk about Him, and I don't have a problem with that. And I praise Him for Him showing up, being who He is in my life. In Mark chapter 12, we're going to start here. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I thought I'd read some of it, but we'll motor on here. But Mark chapter 12 and verse 28 will start. It says, one of the scribes came up and listened to them and disputing with one another. Jesus is having a little discussion with the Pharisees and Sadducees here, as he usually did. It says, and he noticed that Jesus answered them fitly and admirably. He asked him, which commandment is the first and most important of all? Which commandment's the best? Which one is first? And Jesus answered, the first and principal one of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God. And I read it out of the Amplified here. It's a little drawn out, but I like it. You shall love the Lord your God, and out of and with your whole heart, and out of and with all your soul, and out of and with all your mind, that is with your faculty of thoughts and your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first principal commandment. And the second is like it, and is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Are we commanded to love? Yeah, we're commanded to love. And if you love somebody, you're going to do something for them? Going to ignore them? In marriage, that happens sometimes, right? You ignore them? Yeah. It says, and the scribe said unto him, excellently and fitly and admirably answered, teacher, you have said truly that he is one, and there is no other but him. And to love him out of and with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. This guy was starting to get a little bit of a handle what this love was. They still sacrificed back then. They were still having offerings. They still had the priest. They still had all the stuff. They could still only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. The priest could only go in there once a year with blood. And he had quite an outfit that he wore. There was a breastplate that had 12 stones on it, each one for each one of the tribes of Israel. And when he went in there, they had little pomegranate bells on his hem of his skirt. When he went in there once a year, If he messed up, God killed him. He killed him. When they could hear them bells jingling, he's moving around there, they hear the bells jingling, they put a rope around his leg because when he'd been there, he'd hear the bells jingling. If he messed up and they didn't hear the bells jingling, they pulled him out. because he was dead. Whoa. Is that love? I didn't want to talk about that. But I'm just saying, this is how it was. Do you understand that when Christ died on that cross, when that veil was ripped in two, when it was opened up, the Holy of Holies, the actual dwelling place of God, that place that only the priest could go once a year, only without blood, he could only go there once a year. When Christ died on that cross, they ripped that veil in half and said, you know what? You have free access to the throne of God. Isn't that cool? Amen. Isn't that love? That was love. Let's keep going. I was going to go back into 1 John. There's a lot of stuff. Let's go there. We'll go to 1 John. You know I like to go to Bible search. When you study the Bible, if you study a verse of Scripture, you're going to be all over the Bible looking at stuff that pertains to it. I mean, everywhere. It's Old and New Testament alike. But in 1 John chapter 4, there's some cool stuff here. And I can't read it all. I could, but it would take a long time. We're going to start in verse 7. We're talking about love. Is it commanded? We are commanded. The Lord Jesus Christ said, first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And to love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Is that the guy you don't like down the street? Huh? Is that the dummy down the street you don't like to deal with? Yeah, he's your neighbor. We're called to love him. We may not like him, but we have made a conscious choice to love them. I don't think God likes me sometimes. But he's made a conscious choice to love me. He sent his son to die on that cross to suffer everything that I was supposed to suffer. Amen. For me, because he loved me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. He who loves is begotten of God and is coming to know and understand God. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God. For God is love. You ever sit in a puddle of cold water? It's a question. I did last night. We had a little fire and the kids had their little cups and I had a lawn chair. And when I moved the lawn chair, when I sat down, the cup had turned over in the lawn chair. It was wet. Water is wet, right? It's wet. It don't have to try to be wet. It just is. It's wet, right? It says God is love. He doesn't have to try to be God. He is God. He doesn't have to try to be love. He is love. You see that? He doesn't have to, water doesn't have to do anything. It's just wet. It's just wet. God doesn't have to do anything. He is love. That's who he is. He's love. He's love. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, you want to preach on something, just, you know, close your eyes, open the Bible, and preach on that. Okay, cool. There was two guys. It's a true story. I thought this was funny. True story. Guys, two guys, they had graduated from high school together. One went to college, got a pretty good education, had a good practice, making good money. And he meets his buddy that he hadn't seen for 20 years from high school. And his buddy's doing really well. He said, you didn't go to college? Nope, I went to college. He said, I mean, what have you been? He said, well, he said, I went home and I opened my Bible, closed my eyes, opened my Bible, put my finger, and it said my finger was on oil. He said, so I bought stock and oil. He said, the money just started rolling in. He said, well, that's pretty cool. So he said, I took my Bible and I closed my eyes and opened up, and it was on gold. So he said, I started buying gold. He said, money just kept rolling in. So his buddy thinks, this is pretty cool. So he goes home, opens his Bible, closes his eyes, puts his finger, chapter 11. That's bankruptcy for anybody that didn't catch that. Bankruptcy. Chapter 11. Okay, so, poor joke, sorry. So, if God is love, and it's who he is, if we know God, if we experience God in our life, if the Holy Spirit is working in our life, then we can't help but be loving other people, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. It's kind of cool. Les was in Isaiah this morning. Isaiah is an interesting book. Romans chapter 10, and there's a place here. Chapter 10, we'll probably start verse 13, maybe 14. We'll see where that goes. But Isaiah, this verse of 15 is actually taken from Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7. Anybody hear of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Hear them? Pretty cool. You ever hear how they got found and all the history behind that? It's kind of cool. There was a Bedouin shepherd, northwestern part of the Dead Sea, walking around. He was a shepherd. There were some caves. You don't just walk into a cave, okay? Because there could be stuff in there. I mean, it could be snakes. I mean, there could be like some furry animals or something. There could be stuff in there. So he takes a rock, wings it into this cave. Here's a... weird. Sound like a pot. It was. Dead Sea Scrolls. They find these Dead Sea Scrolls. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, they have, after unearthing all these scrolls, all these pieces, parts, it's just pieces, in the Qumran Valley, they've come to the conclusion that every book of the Old Testament they have found a part of in these scrolls, except one. Isaiah. Isaiah, they found the complete, total, word-for-word book. Complete! Complete! In all its entirety. And they figured that that thing was written 1,000 years before anybody ever tried writing it down. That's God's Word. And I thought, that's pretty cool because Isaiah has more words, verses about the coming Messiah than any other Old Testament book. Isn't that cool? This is taken from there. We might get there. We'll see how this goes. In Romans chapter 10, it says, let's start a little earlier. Verse 12. In Romans 10, verse 12, verse 11, I'm sorry, I want to read this. The Scripture says, no man who believes in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. Really? That's what my Bible says. And this says, no one. It's a double. No one. No one will be ever disappointed. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and He generously bestows His riches upon all who call upon Him in faith. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. That's a verse. We stand on that verse. That's a verse we stand on. You call on Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. Let's go to verse 14. But how are people to call upon Him whom they have not believed? And the Amplified says, in whom they have no faith, or with whom they have no reliance. And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? Without somebody speaking the Word? Verse 15. And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. And this says, how welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of good things. That's taken from Isaiah 52:7. And I want to read you Isaiah 52:7. I want to look at that. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who bring good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns! It's an exclamation point. Your God reigns. That's what He's proclaiming. Do you ever say to somebody, you got some pretty nice looking feet. That's beautiful feet you got there. Do you ever say that to anybody? I never have. I mean, your feet, if I decide to go, my feet have to go over there, right? And the rest of my body goes with me. Kind of what it's talking about. But I looked this up. I thought this was really cool. There's some words here I want to talk to you about. This verse 15. And this ties in with, I think everything we've experienced this morning, the people that do things, people that step out, and they do things. They do things. They're willing to get up here and look like an idiot and sing. They're willing to step out in faith knowing that God is going to show up and do His thing. They're willing to get up here and say, you know what? I ain't that smart, but I'll teach the Scripture as best I can with the help of the Holy Spirit and God in it. People that are okay with that. People that can do the sound system. People can do all kind of stuff, devotion, all this stuff. And that's what this verse ties into. That's why I wanted to touch on this verse. It says, how can men be expected to preach? This word for preach is a herald. In the olden days, you had a guy that cried, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock. We don't have it anymore because we got watches and cell phones and smartphones and all that stuff. We don't need anybody selling it. But that's what it was. It says if he's going to be a preacher, he's got to be a herald. He's got to be a herald. He's got to speak it. He's got to get it out there. He's got to speak. And to be sent here in this, how can he can preach unless they're sent? This word for sent, to be sent, This word means an order one to go to a place appointed to send out on a mission. He's sent. This person is sent. I believe that God has a place He wants you to be. I know He does. It had a nice, neat little story, Jim and Jim. That's really cool. That's just God working. That's God putting this thing together. Why do you think Les and Matt, Ben and myself are here today? Are here now. We're preaching the word. And I hear people say, you guys always preach on, you guys just seem to go and go and go. And we don't talk. They don't tell me what they're preaching on. I don't tell them what they're preaching on. I don't ask them for advice on preaching. They don't ask me. We just do what we do. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit. I know that's the Holy Spirit. So we're sent. I believe that's sent. And this will come a little bit clearer as we go here. And it says, how beautiful are the feet. Now, I'm not talking about feet here. I thought this was pretty cool. This word for beautiful here, it's only used four times. It describes that which is seasonable, produced at the right time, as of the prime of life, or the time when anything is at its loveliest and best. Horror means a season, a period fixed by nature's laws and revolutions, so the best season of the year. It's not talking about really pretty looking feet. It's talking about this is a time. This is a season. This is a picked time. Right? My battery's going dead. Sorry. Could be. You can still hear me because I got a big mouth. This is beautiful. That's what he's talking about, beautiful. This has nothing to do with what it looks like. This is a time. And then let's go on. They preach the gospel. This is where we get our word evangelize. They preach the gospel. This is where we get our word. It comes from evangelism. That's what we're doing. And they're preaching. What are they preaching? I like the Amplified here. It says, how welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of His good things. And I thought that was pretty neat when you look up the wording for this. It's used here, the good things are the benefits provided through the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In regard both to His conferred through the gospel and those of the coming Messianic kingdom. Isn't that cool? Cool? People are called to a place. God has us all in a position to do what we're supposed to do. Isn't that cool? We are where we're supposed to be. We are commanded to love. We are commanded to do. We don't work our way into heaven, but it's something we do. By faith, we do what we do. I've had some people say, I couldn't go do that. You don't understand what it takes for me to get up there. You have no idea. My wife could probably tell you. 25, 30 years ago, you couldn't have got me up here. No way. I couldn't sing up here. There's nothing I could do. There was nothing. I was just the wall holder. And I'm not kidding you. I was the wall holder because that wall could fall over at any minute and I was standing beside it in case it did. That's what I did. So why am I here? Because of pivotal circumstances in my life. Things that happened in my life that I have come to the place where I am today that I can say, you know what? If he could go to that cross, if he could be spit upon, beaten, crown of thorns on his head, mocked, abused, nailed to that cross because he loved me. If he could do that for me, and he did that for you, what do I got to lose? What do I got to lose? Huh? I got nothing to lose. All I got's the gain. And I get up here and Brad makes fun of me because I didn't get the song right this morning. He's doing all that. And that's cool. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. Don't try to be. We're going to mess up. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to go the wrong place. We're going to have all these things that we do wrong. But you know what? God in His infinite mercy and His grace. An acronym for grace. Really good to remember. God's riches. At Christ's expense. You get all the riches of God because of what Christ did on that cross. Because of the love that He had for us. We didn't get the 1 John 4 and we didn't get the 1 John 5. We didn't look at all that stuff. But God loves you. We are to show that love to others. If we know God, we're going to love others. If we act on His will, we're going to love others. Because God is love and we are loved by God, we can love others. It's not a feeling. It is a conscious decision to love someone. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray that I stood out of the way. Father, I allowed you to say what needed to be said because you are God. And what needs to be said through your word, I just praise you for that, Father. I thank you for that. And I just stand here this morning, Father, and total all of you how you put this Bible together, how you have preserved it, how you have kept it in caves, in glass jars, in pottery, jars of clay, preserved for thousands of years. Father, you are awesome. You are the God of the universe. You do not fail. You do not ever fail. And Father, you are always alive and powerful in our life if we allow you to be in our life. And we allow ourselves to be led by you. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. And Father, Father, I want to ask a special blessing upon all the workers of this church, all those that step forward and do a job, whatever that may be. And a special blessing, Father, upon the elders that, Father, we know that Satan is here to destroy. He comes with nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I just ask a special blessing, Father, upon them, on the elders and their wives, their families. Father, that you would just protect them, put your hedge of protection around them, give them wisdom, understanding, guidance to lead your church, your body, in the way you have called it to go. And Father, we just ask this in your precious and your holy and your wonderful name. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward and praise band. I got a kind of slim on singers this morning, so I'm going to sing a song this morning for you. The elders come forward. This is a time that is offered every week that you can come forward. You can ask for prayer. You can come forward. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you can come forward for that. This is your time. This is the time that we set aside every week that we pray for you. If you have needs, we'll pray for them. These men love you unconditionally, and they're willing to take the time to pray for you.
guys go and feast today, and praise the Lord, we're going to have a little bit of a meal afterwards, so hang around. That smells pretty good back there, everybody.
Sometimes I wonder. No, praise the Lord.